This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
If you say so, I'll have to pack my things and go.
That's right.
Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more.
What you say?
Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like Ray Charles, but it ain't. It's Buster Poindexter singing. It's a very good version. Hit the road, Jack. Love it. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show, along with Big Ed Davis, who picks all our music. He always picks some great music to play. And we thank you for joining us today. It is Wednesday, October the 11th already. As we move along in this month, we are going to be talking in a few minutes with Charles Blaus of the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. Charles Blaus of the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. And we're going to talk to him about the cost of living adjustments to Social Security for the upcoming year, which will be announced tomorrow, by the way, officially. Here's the question: will they keep up with the constantly rising inflation that we have? We're going to find out. And Israel responds to the brutal attacks by Hamas and now Hezbollah terrorists. We're going to be talking about that as well as Iran's involvement and how the U.S. should respond both to the war itself and to Iran. So lots to talk about there. And House Republicans are going behind closed doors this morning in efforts to select a new speaker. We are going to look at who it might be and when he will be named. We assume it will be a he. And in our ultimate top 10, I think this is a pretty good one, the top 10 most common birds in the U.S. Stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. By the way, we are sponsored at Freedom Works by Andrew's Master Barbershop for the best haircut for men in Tampa Bay. I am telling you, the place I have found, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin, in the Overcash Plaza. Great haircut, great price. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And Arborlife Tree Service. I have used Arborlife Tree Service. They are terrific. They are professional. If it has anything to do with a tree, call Arborlife. It could be tree removal. It could be tree growth. It could be tree enhancement. Anything. Arborlife is Tampa Bay's premier tree service, 727-330-1999. So, the White House and President Biden remain silent on any future relationship with Iran in light of this terrible war in Israel. And now, not only are the Israelis fighting the Hamas terrorists, Hezbollah terrorists from Lebanon are involved. But Iran apparently helped plan this attack. The Wall Street Journal says that security officials allegedly approved the Hamas plan to attack Israel during a meeting in Beirut last Monday. Hamas and Hezbollah leaders said Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps worked with Hamas since August on air, land, and sea attack plans. So I guess Biden gets up yesterday, and I mean, I guess, you know, he claims to be fully backing Israel, which sounds good, but not a word about Iran. What's our relationship with Iran going to be? Are we going to continue to talk with them?
a lot has been brought up about the $6 billion.
And can we freeze it?
Well,
I was talking with somebody last night about this. Can we freeze it still? In other words, don't unfreeze it.
Right.
Is it still frozen?
Well,
why the hell should we unfreeze it?
I don't know who it was, but I can't remember. He's just got a panty waist, for crying out loud. I can't remember his name. Told the media that none of that has been spent on any kind of weapons. That is for humanitarian aid, for blankets, for beds, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's right. First of all,
I would have cornered that guy and say, so you're telling us right now that you trust Iran to follow through with what that money's supposed
to be
used
for. They've already said they're going
to
spend it any way they want. That's
sure
number one. They already
of
said that publicly.
They, are.
They said it publicly as well. One of the mullahs said, we will take that money and spend it the way we want to.
The administration's saying that they don't have any hard evidence, right, as of right now, that Iran is behind some of this.
They know darn well that Iran is behind it. That's number one. They don't want to say it, but they know darn well. They're not fooling anybody. They know it, and we know it. And as far as that money goes, freeze it.
And how about
don't send it over. Don't allow them to touch it.
And how about
that?
How about moving the warship, the carrier Gerald Ford, into the area and saying, this is not any show of force. This is just going to look good. That's it.
Yeah.
We don't plan on doing anything. We just want to scare you.
Yeah, this whole situation is very volatile, and we've got the worst possible leader, you know, at the White House to deal with it. These times are very, very scary right now. I mean, we are, let's be honest. I'm not sure that Iran does not already have the capability to launch a nuclear weapon, first of all. But I think that Israel is going to see to it at this point. I think Israel is going to see to it. I think they're going to attack Iran at some point. They're going to have to do the work of clearing out Hezbollah and Hamas terrorists and settling things down in Israel. That'll be the first thing that they do. But I have a hunch, whether or not the U.S. will go along with it, that they're going to make sure that Iran pays for what they've done.
And they should.
And I think they should. We'll see how that goes. But it's a very, very dangerous situation. Of course, Biden avoided any call for de-escalation while he addressed the nation yesterday with regards to the ongoing war between Israel and the terrorists. Speaking from the White House and flanked by the great Kamala Harris and Secretary of State Antony Blinken, the president vowed that the U.S. has Israel's back. What does that mean, by the way, when somebody says, I got your back? Here's what I think it means. It means, go on out there and have the fight, but I'll be right behind you. I got your back.
When he came up
to... I don't need you to be behind me getting my back. Get my front.
When Biden said,
jeez,
if you're thinking about joining in on this, I have one word for you. I was flashing back to the, I have two words for you, made in America. I was waiting for him to go.
Made in America.
I have one word for you. Please don't ever do it.
Yeah, there you go. We shouldn't be laughing. It's really a terrible situation. The atrocities that are going on and have gone on in Israel just make you sick. And what they did to the infants and all of those other things. Nobody can feel sorry for Hamas and Hezbollah.
No.
And I'm listening this morning again to Washington Journal, and people call in and have the nerve to defend what these people did to those innocent Israeli people is beyond me.
If you listen to our the questions and answers from our favorite White House correspondent, what do you call her?
John Paul Jones.
Yes, or John Paul Jones. There,
White House press secretary.
So there was a question asked. Oh, she made it clear that any demonstration should be peaceful, blah, 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 and they should be protected if they want to. And then some reporter stood up and said, what about the people that that are supporting this action by Hamas and do not agree with Israel? Can they protest, you know, safely?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Let's.
For that, I'd say, yeah.
I mean,
go to Gaza Strip and do that.
There's absolutely no reason not to totally back Israel in its fight to cleanse their country of these terrorists. Anyway, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Charles Blahaus from the Mercatus Center will join us. We are going to talk about the announcement of cost of living adjustments for Social Security in 2024.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. It's Wednesday, and we are delighted to have Charles Blahaus join us. He is a senior research strategist at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. He, by the way, he was a public trustee for Social Security and Medicare in the Obama administration. He has penned several books on pensions and on Social Security. Chuck, welcome to Freedom Works.
Are you there? Thanks for having me.
Oh, there you are. Yes, you're indeed more than welcome. Well, I want to talk a little bit, of course, about what we can expect, I say we, people that are on Social Security, with the cost of and the inflation that's been going on for the last couple of years in particular. People are starting to worry about continuing to be able to exist, to many of them, on Social Security. And I guess tomorrow, the cost of living adjustments will be announced for 2024. Tell us, Chuck, are they going to keep up with the rising inflation?
Well, I think the best way to think of it is that the amount of the COLA generally keeps up with inflation. If not more so, there are some inaccuracies in the calculation of it that probably tends to the high side. The problem is the delay, right? You experience the inflation first, and then the Social Security Administration goes back and says, all right, what was inflation back in the third quarter of 2022? Or what was the price index back in the third quarter of 2022? How does that compare to the third quarter of this year? And then we'll compensate you for that in 2024. So there's a year and a quarter delay in between the time that you experience the price inflation and the time you get compensated for it. So regardless of how well or how poorly Social Security makes the adjustment, there's a fundamental problem facing seniors when there's high inflation, because there's an inevitable delay in how long they have to suffer through it.
Yeah, that's a very good point. You're absolutely right about that. You mentioned that it's very likely that recipients of Social Security can expect a lower COLA increase than the last one they received, which was, what, around almost 9% What does it look like in your opinion for next year? Are we gonna have a 3 or 4% hike, or what do you think?
The smart money seems to be in the low threes, between 3 and 3.5. And as I said, I think that's good news in the sense people tend to be it tends to be kind of counterintuitive, right? People hear a smaller COLA number and they think, oh, that's bad. It's actually better for the number to be smaller for the reasons that I outlined earlier. If the number were 9 or 10% or something like that, it would mean that seniors had had a 9 or 10% loss of their purchasing power for a year and a quarter and hadn't received anything for it. So, you know, 3% is better than 9% in terms of the inflation that you're suffering through. But it would be better still if inflation could be further tamed.
Indeed. So, Chuck, let me ask you about the long-term viability of Social Security. It's been around since 1935. It started out, of course, under the Franklin Roosevelt administration, and it was supposed to be just a little addition to retirement savings that the people had themselves in the open market. Of course, now for many people, it's the major source of income once they retire. But we have a $33 trillion debt. If we don't start addressing things like Social Security, welfare, and Medicare, it doesn't look like we'll really be honestly taking a look at ways of reducing that debt, right?
Well, you're absolutely right, and thank you for making that point, because if you look at the federal government's structural fiscal imbalance, it's pretty much all Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, to a slightly lesser extent, the Affordable Care Act, but it can be entirely accounted for by the rate of growth of those programs. And the fundamental problem we have on the Social Security side is that, no great surprise, lawmakers promised benefits they have no idea how to pay for. So there was a system of automatic benefit increases that was instated in the 1970s. A consultant panel warned Congress at the time that that was not a sustainable rate of cost growth over time and would sentence future generations to substantial tax increases if that was not moderated. But lawmakers ignored the warnings, enacted it into law, and we still haven't figured out how we're going to deal with it. Either we're going to have to moderate that rate of cost growth, or else we're going to be raising taxes on people forever and ever. And that is a problem that just grows more serious with every year of delay.
Yes, and it doesn't seem like either Republicans or Democrats want to talk about it. They call it the third rail. And yet, how much longer can we go, first of all, before we really do have to worry that the pot will run dry? I've heard things as early as 33, 34, 35, you know, which is what, about 12, 11 years from now?
Yeah, I think the best way for me to answer that is to say that it becomes impossible to fix the problem well before we hit that date. And just some numbers in pursuit of that point. If we were to try to fix system finances today without raising taxes and without cutting benefits for people who are already receiving them, we'd have to cut benefits across the board 25% starting tomorrow. If you get to the early 2030s, if you try to fix the system without cutting benefits for people already on the rolls, turns out even if you eliminate 100% of all new benefit claims, the system would still go insolvent, right? So it's far, far too late by then. So delay is really costly. You know, when the president stands up there and says, I'm not going to touch Social Security, and all the Republicans then say, okay, we're not going to touch it either, that does a real disservice to the American public, because we don't have that kind of time to waste.
We're talking with Charles Blahaus. He is a research strategist at the Mercatus Center, campus of George Mason University. He served as a public trustee for Social Security and Medicare in the Obama administration. Chuck, we have talked on this program about ways of getting out of this mess with Social Security. I want to run it by you, because you know a lot more about it than I ever will. What about the idea of allowing people, say, over the age of, say, 59, to continue to receive their Social Security benefits, or, you know, promise them Social Security benefits when they get to the right age, and all of those people under 59 receive back the money that they paid into Social security plus a little bit of interest on it, and are told to take that money and, you know, are advised they ought to invest it, whatever, but you ain't going to have Social Security. Is there any, do you think something like that might be a solution?
Well, I think there are some hard mathematical limits bearing on us now that make it tougher to do that than it would have been, say, 20, 30 years ago. And the fundamental problem we have is that Social Security is not a savings program, right? It's not a program that actually adds to the stock of national capital or national income. It's an income transfer program, which means that no one can get money out of the program unless it comes from somebody else. And unfortunately, the situation is that older generations are, by and large, getting a lot more out of the system they put in. And they can't get that unless someone else puts more in than they get out. And the problem we have now, and that lawmakers really refuse to confront, is how to spread those inevitable income losses around in a tolerably fair manner. So one way or the other, you know, unless we do something to really ratchet back the rate of growth of benefits for people who are on the older side of things now, younger people are going to be stuck putting in a lot more into this system to pay benefits to previous generations than they can ever get out of it. And that's, you know, so there's going to be a net income loss on the younger generation side no matter what. And unfortunately, the only way to avoid that is by taking a hard, clear look at the rate of the benefit and cost growth over the next couple of decades.
So what is the solution, if there is one? Because it sounds like, if we're realistic, Social Security is going to go bankrupt eventually.
Yeah, you know, it's so bad, right?
Yeah,
I'm not using very sophisticated terminology right now.
It's bad. It's horrible.
Right. And if you'd asked me this 20 years ago, I would have said, okay, we can fix a great deal of the problem simply by changing the rate of benefit indexation from being tied to the average wage index, which it is now, to the consumer price index. And that, at that time, that would have solved most of the problem. But it is now so late in the game that the system is going under unless you do a little bit of everything. You have to slow down the rate of benefit growth. You have to change eligibility ages pretty severely. And even then, you might not, you know, even people who are right of center might not be willing to do that enough to avoid a tax increase. That's how bad it's gotten. My personal preference is, I think there's a strong case to be made to solve most of it on the cost containment side. I think to the extent you solve it on the tax increase side, you're just perpetuating the problem. But even people who tend to be of a similar bent to me tend not to be willing to cut into the cost growth enough to avoid a tax increase.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a mess. It's a mess, and unfortunately, those who have said, "Oh, we can deal with it," you know, sometime in the future, 2030 or whatever, the American public is going to be very, I think, shocked and stunned as to the severity of what is going to hit them when that day comes.
So, I mean, in reality, are we just going to wait until we absolutely have no money left and go, "I'm sorry, we've run out, we can't pay it anymore"? I mean, eventually, that's what will happen. If we've got to take the castor oil at some point, someone's got to take it. If we don't. If we don't, everything collapses.
Right, right. I, you know, I don't want to bum you out or your listeners out too much, but I think through that contingency a lot. And I've become a pessimist about it. I think we are at the point where the sizes of the changes that have to be made to preserve solvency, you know, if we delay too much, are so great that they're simply not going to be made. And if that happens, that means we'll just have to abandon the historical design of Social Security. The thing that has made Social Security work over the years is that it hasn't been like welfare, right? Welfare, you have one set of people paying for the program with their income taxes, and they never get benefits. You have other people who get benefits, and they never support it with their taxes. So you have this constant collision of interests, constant renegotiation of the terms and the eligibility rules and all of that. All of that Social Security has generally escaped, because in Social Security, the beneficiaries and the contributors are basically the same people, right? We're all putting in, we're all getting out, and the system is set up so the benefits are supposedly earned and self-financed and paid for. If we don't preserve system solvency, we can't have that type of system, right? If politicians insist on promising benefits far beyond what workers' contributions can fund, then we're going to have to sever that connection between benefit levels and contributions, and it's going to be the worst of all possible worlds. It'll be a massive bailout with trillions of general revenues, and there would be no rhyme, rationale, or reason to the benefits that people get from it other than the amounts that politicians decide to promise. And I think that would be a far worse set of problems even than we have now.
Yeah. Here's the deal. It's a Ponzi scheme, and it always has been. And eventually, the ones that have been putting in at the very end are the ones that get hurt because they won't get the benefit. At some point, those that are putting in are not going to get the benefit of the situation when it collapses. You know, also with Medicare, I mean, and you have, of course, experience with Medicare as well. The cost of our medical situation is just skyrocketing. It's been going that way ever since, in my opinion, the Great Society, 1965. And, you know, when the government got involved in health care. And now it's become, of course, out of sight for anybody that really gets ill to be able to afford to pay for it.
Yeah, I think you put your finger on the nub of it, which is that the Medicare problem was really created in 1965. What's interesting to me about Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid is that they're all the big contributors to our fiscal imbalance, but they got there in different ways. Social Security does it because of a big expansion in the 1970s that we haven't figured out how to pay for. Medicaid does it because we keep expanding it every few years. You know, it's not so much because of Medicaid's initial design, although that was problematic, but lawmakers just kept coming back, expanding it. Medicare is a different story. Most of the Medicare problem is its original design in 1965. To their credit, lawmakers actually haven't piled onto that problem that frequently. We did in 2003 with the prescription drug addition. We did in 1972. But otherwise, lawmakers have been trying to sort of clean up the cost growth that was inherent in the program starting in 1965. And that remains to this day the single biggest driver of the federal fiscal imbalance.
Indeed. Chuck Blahouse, it is a pleasure to have talked with you. I really appreciate your knowledge and coming along and telling us about all of this. And I hope that we'll have the opportunity to do this again.
Well, thanks very much. I appreciate having me on.
It's been our pleasure. Charles Blahouse. All right. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, of course, we're going to talk more about the Israeli situation and House Republicans going behind closed doors this morning to select a new speaker. We're going to take a look at that. So we'll be back. Stay tuned.
Oh, her eyes make the stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful. And I tell her every day.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Wednesday, and I'm just reading here that Steve Scalise thinks he's got the votes to become the next Speaker of the House. He said he is confident. He says we have the votes to do it. They've been meeting supposedly this morning behind closed doors, but Scalise, he's a Republican from Louisiana, he made his pitch to his fellow Republicans about the speakership. Jim Jordan is the other one that is vying for that job. There had been talk about Kevin McCarthy coming back, but it looks like that will not be the case. Scalise went on to say that McCarthy has chosen not to enter the speaker race for a second time, and Scalise argued that he has the votes necessary to secure the position.
You know, I got to thinking about that the other day. How hard could this be? There's only a few choices, right?
Apparently.
So listen, all you get together.
Yeah.
You lock the doors.
Yeah, that's what they're
tell the husbands
doing.
And wives are going to be late. You order the pizza.
Right.
Send someone on a beer run and
get
it
everybody
done.
To
and
vote
get it done.
The same.
Period.
Look at the Democrats. They voted as a block. And that's why McCarthy was knocked out, because there wasn't one Democrat that went off the reservation.
Right.
Speaking about the reservation, we have our chief Indian with us, Andrew the Master Barber. Andrew, by the way, are you still running things at the barbershop, or have the others returned to help you out a little
today.
Bit?
Well, you know, Paul, they returned Monday. However, they're recuperating.
Oh.
So the old man with the bad back and all the problems got to fill in for them while they recuperate.
They're recuperating.
So they have to recuperate from being on vacation.
On vacation.
I'm writing that down.
Yeah.
For 3.5 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
Jeez.
Well, maybe they forgot how to do haircuts and the like. You know, who knows?
I was telling you guys to start planning your next trip. You're back already. You can start planning for next year.
Oh, my goodness.
There'll be some pretty cheap places to go, I believe, on the other side of the world.
So your wife and Candy went on the trip, and they had a good... it sounds like they had an enjoyable trip.
Of course.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. So what do you think about all the things that are going on? I mean, we were talking a little bit earlier, of course, about Hezbollah, those terrorists from Lebanon that have entered the war. So now the Israelis are fighting on three fronts. And then we've got the speakership. It doesn't look like Trump is going to be a viable alternative. Scalise looks like he might have the shot. What do you think?
Well, Paul, I'd like to see Jim Jordan do it. You know, Scalise, I guess he's going through some cancer treatment.
Yes, he is.
And we're going to go through the same baloney again if he gets sick. It's usually the inevitable with mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. But anyway, you know, yesterday you had Winkin, Blinkin, and Nod up on the stage.
Uh-huh. And, yeah, you had, in other words, the Vice President, the Secretary of State, and the guy that's supposed to be President but doesn't know if it's Tuesday. Are those the three you're talking about?
Their new name, Winkin, Blinkin, and Nod.
Well, let's see.
But anyway.
Go ahead.
You know, and then you had these disgusting students from Harvard and Yale, our future leaders, backing with the Palestinians, protesting in school. What's wrong with these people?
Yeah, I was saying earlier today, I watched the C-SPAN, and I had a bunch of people calling, and mainly on the Democratic line, condemning Israel, and I'm thinking, what are you talking about? Have you been reading what these terrorists did to these innocent human beings?
Head.
Yeah. What the heck are you talking about? How dare you bring that up?
This is how stupid they are. And then you know how stupid they are, too? Now, Biden gave them the $6 billion, but it's only for humanitarian purposes.
Yeah, right.
And they're going to keep an eye on it.
There you go.
They got that little lady that don't know what's going on with the economy taking care of it, right?
There you go.
They're spending their money to buy weapons, and then they're telling them we need this humanitarian money here because we don't have nothing to replenish. How stupid people are.
Why should we even unfreeze the money at all right now?
They haven't given them nothing.
That's exactly it. I think we should keep it frozen.
I think we should spend it on our own stuff. Why even bother keeping it frozen?
Yeah, it's actually not our money. It's supposedly their money, but we've been able.
It doesn't matter.
I know.
Possession is 9/10 of the law.
I just don't think that they should get their greedy hands. They've already said it doesn't make any difference what the United States says about the money. They'll spend it any damn way they want to. Mullahs have already said that.
Listen, if you think this is all over, forget about it. Now, you got Israel surrounded, number one. I don't know how long they can hold up, to be honest with you. You think about it. They searched 40 years for the promised land, and there they are surrounded by nothing but Arab nations.
Yeah, I don't know why they picked that area, if you think about it.
That doesn't look good.
No.
Then you got to realize, how much would we leave? $80 billion worth of our military equipment in Ukraine.
And how much does Iran have of that?
That's right, no question about it. And then you got us giving how much more to the Ukraine of our military equipment.
Andrew, the Master Barber, what should Biden and the United States do about all the U.S. hostages? And there are like possibly 18 or 19 or something like that.
You know, Paul, I would bet right now that we do have special forces of our own on our way there. I believe there's a few of them left in the woke army.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we sent them there. I mean, if I had to bet on it, I mean, I think the military decision is going to take over that one, because they know Biden and his cronies can't. I guarantee the help is on the way. But the fact of the matter is those people are probably already gone.
I was going to say.
But why would they be gone? Why would they be gone? Because they're worth more alive. Biden sent another $6 billion.
I was going to say they're probably over there, and they just haven't told Ding Dong, because they don't want him to let loose on and let everybody know. So I would think that they're over there. Hey, I got an idea. To get the young vote, is what we do is we start a rumor saying that $6 billion that went to Iran would have gone to relieve student debt.
There you go.
Yes.
That'll get the turn real quick.
Right.
Hey, we were gonna give that to you students, but it's got to go to Iran.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
we're in turmoil, Paul. Like I say, Taiwan is next, and if we go there, guess what? We are completely vulnerable. We don't even have any oil for anything. We got rid of our strategic oil.
Do you think, A, that we should even be talking to Iran anymore? B, do you think Israel may end up, after it settles down the situation in their own land, that they're going to go after Iran?
Well, you know, like I said last week or earlier this week, this has been going on for 5,000 years. My own personal opinion is they should take Iran off of the map. But that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get rid of it, get it over with.
I think Israel is seriously thinking about something like that.
We just say the parking lot formerly known as Iran.
Yeah. But
that's
don't.
All. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We could send all the scrap windmills there, because we have a problem disposing of them here. So
that's true. We can put them all in their parking lot that used to be Iran and turn them on there.
But that's just my own personal belief. That doesn't need to influence anybody else's.
I think, you know, Iran has always worried about the development of a nuclear weapon. I mean, Israel, excuse me, has always worried about Iran's development of a nuclear weapon. I think they got the excuse now to go in there and take out whatever weapons that Iran has, you know, surgical strikes.
Well, let me put it this way. What if the U.S. found out that China had placed nuclear weapons in Cuba? What do you think we would do? We'd take them out.
What we would do?
I'm afraid that with Biden, I don't know that we would do that.
Well, after Biden.
That's another story.
Yeah, well, remember what Kennedy did with Russia in Cuba. Remember that.
Listen, all we got to do is stop letting China import any of their products in this country, and they'd be broke in a week.
Biden's response would be, don't do it.
Yeah.
You're right.
You know, but the thing about China is their economy is not doing well. They are really, got to remember, they still have largely an agrarian economy in that huge country of theirs with their billions of people. And
you know why
their economy is not doing well right now.
You know why? Because our economy is not doing well.
No, it's true.
People aren't buying nothing.
That's part a goodly part of it. So the point being that when a country like China is having those kinds of issues, many times they strike out. You know what I mean? They go at, they, it's like a wounded bear.
That's right.
That's what
that's
you have to worry about.
Taiwan.
Things are not.
Taiwan is next.
Yeah.
Well, what's, what do they always say? The best way for a country to get out of money problems, debt problems, is war.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe they ought to send their, I told you the guys, the Admiral in the skirt and Pete Buttigieg. Maybe they ought to team up with Blinken and see what they can do.
Yeah, we'll send them over there. That'll make, that'll certainly do a lot. I'm sure they'll be impressed.
And then I think they should send
they'll like
Talib,
that.
I think they should send the squad over to Gaza Strip and tell them they need the ceasefire.
That one, is that Talib? She was
Omar.
Did you notice her ducking when asked about the terrorist attack by Hamas?
She was ducking the
cameras and the reporters.
Here's the fact. These people were put into place. They were voted in neighborhoods with a high Arab percentage of influx of immigrants. They voted these people in, and they infiltrated our government, Paul. Period.
Yeah.
They should be tossed.
It's very scary. Very scary. Boy, things could not be much worse than they are right now. Everything seems to be going wrong, and we've got an idiot in the White House. And that's what's...
I'm getting ready to take over here. I'll straighten this place out in 24 hours.
Let's get in the van and on our way to Washington.
There you go.
All right. Andrew, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so very much. I'll be over one of these days for a haircut.
You got it, buddy. You guys be good.
All right, you
talk
too.
Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right. We're going to take our final break. We still got other things to talk about, but our ultimate top 10, the top 10 most common birds in America.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works on a Wednesday, and we thank you so very much for being with us. And by the way, we are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. live on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. But if you're not able to hear us live, thanks to Big Ed, you can go to our website and listen to our podcast anytime you'd like. Just go to ourfreedomworks.com, click on the podcast button at the top. Ed's got all our shows. Most recent show at the top. You'll see who the guest is that we're going to be talking with. You'll see the topic. You'll also see what our top 10 is. OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. So, Ed, this morning, about 4 in the morning, I couldn't sleep. I actually got out of bed. I got up and I walked into the other room and I sat down on the chair, and then I had a glass of milk with me and I drank it And then I went back to bed and I slept okay. So every once in a while when that happens, I have found that, you know, a glass of milk helps me. Do you ever have a problem with sleeping?
Your vodka usually takes care of it, though.
Well, we're making a joke, but you know, alcohol actually is not good for that. But the reason I bring it up, there is a method used by the U.S. military, and it apparently was used in World War II, that could be an effective way to cure insomnia. Some people claim, and other experts agree, that you can go to sleep within 5 minutes if you use this technique. It's called the military sleep technique, and originally detailed in a book called Relax and Win Championship Performance. It was published in 1981. A track and field coach by the name of Bud Winter, I guess is his name, Lloyd Bud Winter, wrote that he had spoken with Navy pilots about the way they used to relax and fall asleep within 2 minutes, even under very high-stress situations. So here is what he says this method is all about. It says, first you relax every muscle in your face, including your cheeks and your tongue. So you have to focus on those things. You unclench your jaw, and you take slow, deep breaths. Says it's super important that you continue to breathe deeply. Next, focus on relaxing the muscles in the shoulders, arms, and the hands, imagining every single piece and muscle of the body relaxing. And apparently you just kind of go down your body that way, focusing on that part of your body till you get to the tip of your toes.
And all this takes 5 minutes?
Well, I guess if you're really concentrating, you have an opportunity of actually falling asleep before you even get to your toes. I don't know. But
what if you're a little bigger than everybody else? Does it take 10 minutes?
I don't know. It says here, you should relax the chest and stomach all while taking your deep breath. Then relax the right and left legs. So now that you've let go of tension in your body, it is time to do the same with your mind. Imagine you're getting more and more relaxed as you're lying there in peace and calm. Guy says, usually I'm asleep before I get to my legs. So there you go.
Or your wife could just say, go to sleep, jerk.
She could say that and scare you into it. All right, Ed, before we get to our top 10, the Tampa Bay Lightning started their season last night with a victory over the Nashville Predators.
Uh-huh.
Did you watch any of the game?
Actually, I was working, but I had an eye on it.
And there was a lot of scoring going on. I can't remember the final. Was it 5-3? Yeah. Okay. So we did this without our premier goalie, Vasilevskiy. Who's going to be out for a couple of months at least, from what I understand. Yeah. But at least the hockey season has begun.
Yeah.
And my beloved Blackhawks won last night. Yeah. They went to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, there was a big to-do about their draft pick starting last night.
Apparently, second coming.
Well, he looked 16 years old to me.
He does look young.
Wow.
Very young.
I bet he gets ID'd when he comes in.
He looks like he's not. I don't think he's 21 yet. I'm not sure.
He can't be.
Yeah.
I bet he's 19, maybe.
Yeah.
20. Maybe.
Well, I hope he stays healthy, and I hope that he does as well as they expect, because the Blackhawks need some help. Mm. But they started their season with a victory as well. All right, Ed, I guess it's time for our top 10, and I found this one to be of interest. I want to see if you will know what the most common bird is in the United States when we get to it. So you'll have to listen to the other nine.
Okay.
And this comes from a-zanimals.com. It's called the top 10 most common birds in the U.S. So here we go. Number 10. Number 10 is the red-bellied woodpecker. Yes, indeed. Identification of the red-bellied woodpecker is easy with its striking black and white feathers.
Well, those things can be loud.
And they can be.
Yeah.
I have had a woodpecker near my house, and when I'm outside in the back, I can hear it pecking away on the tree. Yeah. All right, number 9, the chickadee. This cute little bird is a common visitor to backyards, parks, and gardens all over the U.S. There are 7 species of chickadees, and each lives in a specific region of the country. All right, number 8, the northern cardinal. Yeah, indeed. I like cardinal. A bright red cardinal against a snowy backdrop is one of the most beautiful sights of winter. It graces Christmas cards and holiday scenes every year. The cardinal is a large red songbird that is the state bird, by the way, of North Carolina.
Yeah, once in a while, you can see a red cardinal around here. They're very pretty.
They are pretty.
Oh, yeah.
They're gorgeous.
And you can tell right away as soon as they land. It's a cardinal.
Indeed. Number seven. The mallard. Yeah, the mallard, the duck. The common duck inhabits the waterways of almost every state in the U.S. The male mallard, distinctive for their bright green heads, white collar bands, and yellow bills. Females have a softer coloring of deep brown and gray. You are likely to see mallards, of course, when you visit lakes, ponds, and streams. There you go. Indeed. Very good, Ed. Very good. You really do sound like a duck sometimes. Number six. This one, I wasn't sure exactly what it was, but it's the red-eyed vireo. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Although it's very common, this pretty bird with greenish feathers is elusive and hard to spot. With their camouflage and their preference for building nests in dark foliage, vireos are good at hiding from view. Vireos are large, chunky birds with long, slightly hooked bills. They're known for their lovely singing. Unlike many other birds, vireos continue singing in the hot summer months. Okay, number five, the chipping sparrow. Chipping sparrows were once the most populous birds in North America, and they're still common. For the correct ID, look for a brightly colored cap. The chipping sparrow has a pale gray or cream breast, brown feathers, and a chestnut cap. All righty. Number four, the robin. The American robin. Robins were once forest dwellers. Like raccoons and other animals, they've learned to thrive in urban and suburban areas. They live all over Canada and in almost every state in the U.S. Robins are a legendary herald of spring. Number three, the mourning dove. Not mourning like in the morning, but mourning sad. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. The mourning dove gets its name from its mournful, haunting call. Also known as the turtle dove, it is one of the most common birds in the U.S. You'll often spot them stepping gracefully on their ground, which is where they prefer to feed. Mourning doves live all over the U.S. Number two, the red-winged blackbird. These large birds are striking with their dark black feathers. They look like regular blackbirds, but their shoulder feathers help with identification. The males sport bright red and yellow patches at the top of their wings. The females are less showy. Female red-winged blackbirds often have brown feathers. All right, Ed. You want to take a guess?
I had no idea.
I wouldn't have known this either. It is the dark-eyed junco, J-U-N-C-O. Juncos look like fluffy gray balls. These energetic little birds may be the most numerous birds in North America. It's common to see them hanging around your tree branches and making their loud, joyful noises. Identification of these birds depends on where in the country you spot them. In the eastern states, they are gray and white, but out west, they come in various colors, including a reddish brown. Juncos are winter visitors who visit North America from even colder climates up north. So there you go. All right, thank you so very much for being with us. We will be back on Friday. In the meantime, be good, and remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on